Welcome to the Godmother Podcast. I'm Lisa Bevere, and I believe every woman not only needs a godmother, but she can actually be one. A godmother is someone who watches over us and transforms our seasons of hardship into triumph. So if you're new around here, welcome. We are just wrapping up season two of the Godmother Podcast. We've been focused on everything motherhood, and I hope that you have enjoyed it. If you missed any of it, you need to go back and listen to it. Today, I'm so excited. In this last interview in this season, I'm going to introduce you to an amazing mama. Her name is Erin Weideman. And Erin is just this incredible, fast-talking entrepreneur, cancer survivor, moving in the last month of pregnancy woman. She is just so full of life and encouragement and empowerment. And can I tell you something else? A lot of people are like, go for it, friend. But Erin actually gives you tools. So I'm so excited for you to meet her. So here's her bio. She's a five-time cancer survivor. I mean, who even does that? She is the co-founder of Truth Becomes Her. It's a brand that actually equips moms and women with resources to help them step into their unique leadership role. So she actually wants the young women to be empowered by their mother or female leaders in their lives to empower these young women into leadership roles. She's the author of, wait for it, 12 books, a nationally recognized speaker, certified teacher, and a sought-after homeschooling consultant, as well as the host of the podcast Heroes for Her. Erin's personal mission is to shift the conversation around feminine values from being beauty-driven to a focus of inherent worth. Erin is an on-air personality for Air One Radio. She delivers 59 seconds of hope, which that would really be 2 minutes for Erin because she talks so fast. Devotionals every day, as well as a spokesperson for World Vision and an active advocate for the American Cancer Society. She and her husband, Brent, recently relocated from San Diego to a small picturesque town in Montana, along with their two miracle daughters. So join me, and I am so excited to have you meet Erin today. Hey, Erin, I am so excited to welcome you to the Godmother Podcast. And I know a lot of people may not know you yet, but they are going to be so excited to hear your story, so encouraged to hear your triumphs and just how you've turned everything that came against you to something that is redemptive and empowering. And I love that. But we want to start a little lighthearted. We want to start, what is, because I know you've got compacted children. So I want you to tell how many kids you have. And then I want you to say, what is your funniest mommy moment?
Okay, so two babies. Rooney Cruz is going to be 7 this coming March. So she and I are doing first grade at home, which just quite the adventure. And then we have baby Roxy, who is brand new to our family. She's 5 months old. We had her right after we made the move from San Diego to Montana. 3 weeks later, she came. So it was insane. It was an upheaval of our family, and we moved out of California, and here we are. So
I just need to pause. Yeah. I need to pause a moment. How cool are those names? Rooney and Roxy. Like, I just want to get pregnant to name kids that. That is amazing. Okay. All right. And, you know, and most people do move during the last month of their pregnancy. I understand that, Erin.
We felt like we had to. We came to Montana in June and we loved it. You and I talked on my podcast last time I was there, and we thought, oh, we can move here. This is fine. And now it's like 18 degrees. So we're all confused. But let's see. Mom moments that are funny really have to do with bodily fluids. I feel like I get thrown up on a lot. Just, this is mom life. It's, you're covered in all the fluids. And so, but I'm excited. I love being a mom. It's crazy and it's wonderful and the most challenging work I've ever done. And I taught full time for almost 10 years. So yeah, I've had lots of adventures in the classroom and now I'm having them in the classroom of my home.
Wow. Okay. So do you have any epic mom fails?
Ooh, mom fails. I think so.
You may not.
Rooney's the other. Yeah, no, I've definitely got one. So recently, so my daughter Rooney and she was having an entrepreneurship day at our homeschool co-op, and she's going to make these snow globes. And her pitch, she had to pitch her grandpa to get the money to, you know, buy the materials and then create 24 snow globes. But the reason she thought of the snow globe idea was because her mom was running around stressed out, that, you know, baby had thrown up or there was a poop situation explosion. And she was like, oh, my mom really seemed very stressed out and I needed to make her something to help her relax. So we laugh about it now because her ho-ho snow globe business exploded. And all the people online have like contacted me and said, can we get a snow globe? And I'm like, I didn't realize this was going to be a thing, but it came out of like an embarrassing moment where I was like running around, you know, covered in poop, trying to get the baby changed. And it's just, it's funny. We laugh about it.
Okay. So your daughter who is 7 created a snow globe business, ho-ho snow globe. I love that.
It's so cute. She made them all herself. She bought the little figurines and the glycerin and put them all in. She had to create a pitch for her grandpa because her grandpa was like, I'm not just going to give you the money. You have to tell me what this is for. And then she did it so she could give a portion of money away. And then she wanted to earn some money. So we had a really interesting conversation about stewardship of funds and when income comes in, you know, how do we dedicate it to the Lord and his purposes and what that all means. So it was like a really deep and meaningful, you know, cute little project that she thought of. It was really cute.
Wow. Okay. So seriously, entrepreneurial, 7 years of age. I always said that if my kids had been homeschooled, they would have been stupid or dead. So I just salute you for homeschooling because I know that is a big challenge. And it sounds like you guys are being incredibly innovative with it. So, you know, I love that. I love that your girls is having to make a pitch to her grandfather for money. All right. Last question before we just dive in to everything you're passionate about. Do you have any motherhood regrets?
Motherhood regrets. I think early on, I really spoke a lot of death over my ability to be a good mom. I looked at my own relationship with my mother, the things that we missed in terms of connecting emotionally, being able to have hard conversations. I felt, you know, I'm almost looking back in my adolescent, my teen, my young adult years going, gosh, I just did not have this meaningful relationship with this woman who was ahead of me experientially and in life and who I just missed out on that. So I spoke a lot of the opposite of truth over myself when my kids were little, especially Rooney. And just, I remember being pregnant going, there's no way I can do this. I never planned to be a mom. I was sick for a really long time with cancer. I mean, I never thought kids were even in my path. And to be told, you know, in, you know, looking at a sonogram and looking at the picture and the ultrasound. And I sat there in total fear of my ability to do this job well. And God really did a work on me in that early season to speak life over me through scripture, through mentors, through people that came alongside me in motherhood that were further along in the journey to just say, hold on a second, you have unique gifts, experiences, your personality, the things you are equipped to speak into your daughter in a way that no one else can. So I really learned to absorb that message. And now thankfully I get to share that with other moms who are feeling discouraged and mentors who don't feel like they can impact this next generation because it's such a lie. We definitely can.
Yeah. So can you give me an example of, I mean, obviously I'm hearing what you're saying is you didn't feel like you had what you needed from your mom. Therefore, you didn't feel like you had what you needed for your daughter. And I do think there is a lot, Aaron, to be honest with you, tons and tons of women who are feeling that way. And I think that is why they tend to regress to trying to be their child's friend rather than being their child's parent, because they don't know how to be a parent because they weren't parented well, or they just, you know, just, I don't know, it's confusing. There's so much messaging in our culture right now that does not equip parents to be parents. It equips them to be BFFs or girlfriends or something like that. But you actually touched on your passion. You have a focused passion to see moms and women step in to a leadership role in their homes. And what would you tell a mom who's actually struggling at this, in this season of her life? What would you say that you've learned that, and I feel like you already kind of said it, that you can get what you need. You know, what would you say to her as the first step into moving into that direction?
I mean, number one, get yourself immersed in God's word. Make sure you know what God's word says, because so often we're speaking in contrary to what God's word actually says. And those negative thought patterns are really unhealthy. And not just unhealthy, they're really going to stand in the way of you assuming that leadership role that you've been called to with the children, you know, sons or daughters that you've been placed inside the sphere of influence. You need to know what God's word says, how it's going to be contrary to some of the negative thought patterns, the self-talk that you're going to, you know, speak over yourself, or you're just going to allow to swirl around in your head. You have to create ways to combat those messages. And the way that we do that is with the truth of scripture. So number one, get yourself, you know, get in God's word, you know, start speaking those things over yourself. Rooney and I dance around to Seed's family worship songs all the time. And everybody thinks it's for her. Oh, she's memorizing scripture. I'm like, no, it's for me so that I can have a word from the Lord that is God breathed. It's from him. When situations and challenges come up for my parenting, and then also just for myself, my own identity as a daughter of Christ. So I would say scripture is first. And then the next major step, that the hurdle that I had to get over, was feeling like the weighted burden of I've got to do this myself. You know, yes, I'm alone with God and he's speaking into my life and I'm praying and inviting him in to help me make decisions, but really feeling isolated. That is a place where you can really feel isolated, I think, as a parent. So inviting in seasoned mentors. These are women who experientially have different, you know, life lessons and themes and things that you can use to write your perspective about whatever funky thing you're going through in your parenting journey, to invite those older women in to have a conversation with you, just not just to bounce ideas off of, but to really glean wisdom from the things that they've gone through, the way that God has shown up in their lives. I mean, I check in with you often via text. When I have a question about parenting, I'll contact somebody, you know, and we'll talk one-on-one, or I'll say, hey, do you have 10 minutes for me to just like throw this out to you and we can just chat back and forth? And it really becomes this beautiful dialogue and a way that God can weave our relationships together so beautifully so that we don't feel isolated. Because I'll tell you, like being up in the middle of the night, being fatigued, you know, lacking coffee, no one to help you. The weight of being a mom is so, it's the magnitude of it is so big sometimes. And having those other people in your life, those seasoned people who have, you know, you've grown four adult men who love the Lord, they're on fire for Jesus, they're in ministry in their own ways. And God's really, it's really cool to be in the younger season of motherhood, like inspecting the fruit of people around me and going, gosh, who's got a family who's like, not that all the problems are solved and like there's no issues or challenges, because that's not real, but to find the women who are ahead of you, who have something to speak into your situation, and growing those relationships and spending the time necessary to be together so that they can add value to your life. So you're not just sitting back, just guessing about what to do.
You know, I love that. And Erin, I'm trying to even remember how we connected. I know we connected in San Diego, but I'm trying to think, how did we originally connect? Did you and I just connect after a meeting? How did our paths cross? I was trying to remember that.
Yeah, I started a podcast called Heroes for Her, and it was to, you know, in line with Bible Bells and identifying positive role models for girls and women of scripture and all of that, because that was like missing in the marketplace. Brent and I made a list of like, who are the women who care about this message? Who are the people who are out there? They're not afraid to say like the truth of God's word, and they're ministering to the hearts of women, and they're trying to impact the next generation. And you were on the list. And I was like, I'm just going to email you. You don't know me. And I remember emailing you, and I'm sure I wrote like, you know, a couple of paragraphs about how wonderful you were and how I was a teacher in San Diego. And could we maybe chat on the phone to have a conversation? And you graciously said yes to a perfect stranger. But it just goes to show you, when you step out and seek out these relationships, that someone like a person of the right countenance, who's got a heart for the Lord, who's burdened by the things that he cares about, is going to give you the time. So I know there are moms and other women listening right now. Maybe you're a mentor of girls, or you've been placed inside a sphere of influence to impact younger generations of women. Like, don't be afraid to reach out to these people, even if you don't know them, or you've got someone, God's put someone on your heart to say, gosh, I wonder what they would say about this unique situation. I reached out directly because you were a person that I thought supremely cares about the issue of women, their lack of understanding of their true identity, missing your calling, missing your purpose, and wanting desperately to bridge the gap between, you know, the Lord, and through our stories, we can invite women into this space to live boldly for him and do all the things, right? And so that's why I reached out to you. And what's been beautiful is to watch like this unfold into a friendship where, you know, we're commenting back and forth, and we're talking back and forth, and we're checking in, and we see how each other are. And that's the point of these relationships, multi-generations of women going, okay, I can look ahead, see who's ahead of me, glean some wisdom. And then what's my job to impart the wisdom and to impress upon that younger generation, all of the wisdom that I'm gleaning? Can I distill it and synthesize it in such a way that I can pass it on effectively to the people coming up behind us?
Hey there. We're taking a quick break to say, if you're loving this podcast, make sure to check out Lisa's latest book, Godmothers, Why You Need One, How to Be One. You can get the book, audiobook, or ebook today on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Or find a link in the show notes of this episode. And now, back to the show.
I love that. And you know, I do remember talking to you. There was something that resonated with this whole idea of the next generation understanding their identity in Christ value versus their, we think about it used to be more beauty driven, but now it's not even beauty anymore. It's seduction. And I love that you are trying to weave something deep inside of them that is a core value, so that as culture begins to layer things on them, those layers are going to fall off if they do not correspond with the way they've been shaped, because we do get shaped by either the word of God or the word of people. And I love that you have a passion, and I hope everybody can hear that, Erin. I mean, if you're coffee deprived right now, I don't believe it, because like you are talking so fast and so intentionally. And I want you to know that Erin has, she has gone through something that I went through, but she went through it five times. Cancer has a way of punctuating your life. And when I say punctuating your life, there becomes more exclamation points than question marks. All of a sudden, you're like, you know what? I'm going to make my life count for something. And Erin, five-time cancer survivor. Now, if you are my age, if you were 60, a lot of people would be like, okay, yeah, that's enough. But Erin, how old are you?
40. I just turned 40 last month.
Yeah. So, but you had cancer how many times before you were how old?
I first at 26. So I've been cancer free for about 9 years now, but yeah, I had it back to back every year over and over. I just got pummeled with it in that season, 26 to about 31.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of people would just give up. A lot of people would just feel sorry for themselves. What was the turning point for you?
So I talk about this often. Everybody thinks I'm insane, but cancer is the best thing that ever happened to me. It pierced my soul in such a way that I now wake up every day steeped in gratitude, understanding that there is an urgent message that I'm called to share, and thinking very strategically down to the minute of how I talk to my children, how I plan for the content I'm going to put out, the books I'm going to write, the different, you know, ways that I want to partner with God to be creative. I live now with a sense of urgency for the gospel. And I'm so supremely grateful for that horrific and painful part of my story. It had to happen. I was on the fast track to nowhere. I cared only about myself. I was not walking with God, all the badness. I mean, everything you could do to try to find your worth in other places and not your God-given identity. That was me. And I was on the floor of the bathroom, middle of cancer treatment, radiation. I was quarantined for 3 days praying, and I didn't even believe in God. And I was crying out, God, if you're real, I'm sorry. I've made a mistake. I don't want to die. I blew it. I've wasted my life. And the second I got out of that radiation treatment, I thought, I've wasted everything he's given me. What are my gifts? Let me figure that out quickly, because I don't have a lot of time. And God wrenched my soul for children in that season. He was like, you need to be a teacher. And I said, you know what? I'm going back to school. I was still doing treatment in that first round of surgeries. Went back to school, became a teacher, got my teacher credential, got in the classroom, and thought, I'm going to spend every day that I have pouring into this next generation until I don't have breath anymore. And that's what I did for 8 years, until he told me to quit my job and become an entrepreneur. So God has just a funny way of using things are over. And, you know, I thought my life was over, and I met my husband right in there and tried to date like in the middle of the cancer journey, which I wouldn't recommend to anybody, but he was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. So we had a weird, crazy journey. And he could see it. He pursued me. Just that's how God pursues every single one of us. We think we know and we don't know. And I've been married to him for 10 years. We have 2 babies. I'm 8 years completely free of radical healing. But the amazing healing I've experienced is so secondary. What God did through that period of pain and suffering, I can't tell you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, truly.
I love that. You know, Aaron, I want to highlight something for everybody. You know, I love that Aaron was 26 and she thought, I've wasted my life. I remember when I was 21 and I got born again, I thought, I have squandered 2 decades of my life. And, you don't have to have cancer to have an urgency woven into you. Right now, all you have to do is open your eyes and see the days and the times that we're in, to see what is celebrated in our culture and what our culture is entertained by, how many marriages are just falling apart, that, you know, there's just confusion about every single area of life where there used to be certainty. And so if you do not shake yourself, because we do have a culture that's trying to entertain us, but if you do not shake yourself and wake up to where we are right now, I just don't want any of you to look back 2 years from now and say, I squandered the last 2 years. And there's something about when we wake up to what God is doing, then we have a revelation of the next step. You know, and so there's a lot of people that are very casual in their pursuit of God. That Aaron came to God in a moment of anguish on a bathroom floor in the middle of treatment at the end of herself and said, I'll do whatever. And that whatever looked like becoming a teacher. And so that being a teacher, Aaron, wove something into your heart for children. And you have had that outwork with some amazing, amazing resources. I want you to talk about Bible Bells. I want you to talk about Rooney. I want you to talk about these incredible resources that my grandchildren have been the beneficiary of.
Yeah, Bible Bells. I mean, it started when I was in a classroom. So I'd been teaching for a while. Brent and I, on the way home from church, were having a friendly debate, like early married people do, about what to get our niece for her birthday that year. She was 5. And starting kindergarten, and I could see as a teacher just the weight of that extra pressure, socialization, you know, relationships and friendships, and, you know, does she understand who God really says she is? And just girls today are missing that message, right? We're not building it from the inside out, where everything is reactive to, okay, my girls, you know, our relationship's going sideways and she's got her door shut. And now she's all of a sudden she's insecure and cares about what other people think. And she's obsessed with the way she looks and how she's being perceived. And if they continue down that path, they will totally, as I did, miss what God says about them and what God would have them be and do out in the world. And so Bible Bells really just came from spending so much time with girls in the classroom. I was mentoring 6th grade girls every Friday at lunchtime and just, you know, speaking scriptures to them and talking to them about what God actually says about them in a non-Christian private school. Shh, don't tell anybody, I don't work there anymore. It wasn't allowed. But as I started to think about what I was called to do, that the same things that I struggled with, that you struggled with as a young person, like, could there be a proactive solution to the identity flaws, the character compromisation or the compromising, right? The lack of character development, the lack of confidence, the lack of understanding your true nature as God's, you know, image bearer. Could we deal with all of that and create a resource that was fun and engaging and took the stories of women in the Bible and helped girls interact with them in a meaningful way to internalize those messages, make real life application. Like, this is what gets me excited as a writer, right? It's not about just taking a story and making it fun and entertaining. As you said, we have to be building inside children an eternity mindset. If we just focus on entertainment, we are totally gonna miss that bigger picture that I swear God is, I mean, he's invited us into that space to go, okay, I've given you unique creativity. I've given you a unique personality, experiences that no one else has, you know, ideas and thoughts and dreams and all of these things he's placed inside us. I want to partner with you to get the gospel to a dark and broken world that needs it. We can do it here stateside. We can think very strategically about how to translate things in multiple different languages as you do. And that's what excites me about so much of the work that you've done. I mean, the long list of things that you've put together is so meaningful for me, as just a mom who lives in the United States of America, who wants to not only raise kingdom people, but who wants to think very strategically about how to get the gospel to the far corners of the world in just the place where I live, in the mess of my motherhood journey. So that's what excited me about Bible Balls. And we, I was just a teacher at that time. So I'm writing a manuscript in the middle of grading papers on the weekends while, and in the middle of that, we learned we were going to have a baby, which I didn't expect. I was like, motherhood can't be in my journey. I'm just going to teach forever. And God just was like, no, there's this other lane I want you operating in. So I think becoming a mom, and especially the mom of a girl, it helped me feel so personally that connection to what I'm called to do in passing this message of the gospel on to, my generations of people that I've birthed, that have come from me with the help of the Lord. It's such a cool space to be in, but it's so challenging. So, that's why the women of the Bible were a way to connect girls to scripture, to the stories of the Bible, to get them excited about opening that book in a way that wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't daunting. It was just, here's a way to engage these women. They're just like you. They walk through the same things you walk through. They are not perfect. Here's their story. And this is how you can relate it to a young reader, an impressionable mind. You do it through a mainframe character, 9-year-old Rooney Cruz. Man, she just goes through the typical everyday struggles that girls face, not asserting herself, lack of confidence, all the things. And she gets to see through the women of the Bible, God show up, find out who he is and what she's called to do through the stories of these female role models. So it's so cool.
Yeah. And for the record, Sophia and Lizzie love it. Of course, they do want a bracelet that has an angel attached to it. That has not happened yet for them, but they are still hopeful. They're still hopeful about that. I had a whole day with Sophia on Sunday, and it came up in conversations. And so, Aaron, I want everybody, we're going to put it in the show notes. I want everybody to know how to get a hold of your books, because they're incredible resources for identity. But I also want to add another layer. There's a lot of people, Aaron, like, for example, I already said I wouldn't have been a good homeschooler, but right now, homeschooling may be the best option for a lot of people. And when I was doing it, it wasn't online. It was very hands-on. You're an educator who is incredibly passionate about homeschooling. Let's say there's a mom outside and they're listening to me and they're thinking, man, things are changing so much at school. I don't know whether my kids are in school, out of school with COVID. I don't know if I'm comfortable with everything that's being presented to my children. What would be her next first step? Like, what would she, if she's like, I may need to homeschool, where would she go to find resources? And what would you say to her? Because it is a daunting prospect, especially if you have more than one child.
Such a good question. So I actually did a training right when the first wave of lockdowns hit, called The Heroic Homeschooler. It was 6 weeks. It's 8 videos. It's basically me walking you through how to break off those agreements that you have with yourself about how, like reinvent the school day and make it exactly like they're used to. You create a customized learning experience for each of your individual children. The freedom of choice in that is so liberating, and it's so life-giving. People who are like-minded and listening to this right now, if we want to prioritize the gospel and creating first citizens of the kingdom of God, and then we talk about things like academics and athletics and all of the things we want to pepper in to create a rich life experience, homeschooling, what I've learned about homeschooling, what I've pulled, the best parts of me that I've pulled from the public and non-Christian private, my time as an educator, I've gotten to rein those things in and really create something that works for my individual learner, her unique needs, the personality she has, the way she learns best. And nobody knows your children like you do. It's so exciting to be able to look at those kids, go, okay, one-on-one, or I've got 3 or 5, however many kids you have, and just to customize a situation that looks good for them, that's going to work for them, and to be very flexible to change it often. Like, we have a new baby over here. Homeschooling last year when it was just her looks totally different than me trying to breastfeed and getting thrown up on, and, oh, you're doing that. Okay. Today it doesn't go with like the typical schedule, and that's okay. So I did a course last year on that, that we're inviting people to join again, because this next wave of homeschoolers is just as freaked out, I feel like, as the last wave. So, moms that are sitting at home that have trusted the school system, to you know, take, you know, do the lift of the heavy lifting of the children's academic lives. And now that's, they're sitting at home going, all right, well, I'm not a trained educator and I'm not this and I'm not that. And it's just, you've got to stop speaking death over yourself regarding your children's education. And you can own your influence, as we say, in everything we do. Own the influence you have as a mom, as a wife, as a mentor, as a teacher, in the academic sense. So all of those things.
Well, and I just want to summarize a couple of things. First of all, I love that, own your influence. You know, the truth is, Erin, you chose to be what you did not have. And I chose to be what I did not have. Now, where I got it wasn't from my mom. I had to get it from the Word of God. And I love that you're saying, you know, hey, let's stop just reinforcing the wrong narratives, because it's not necessarily the truth. Now, it might be true of you in a moment, but it is not your truth. It is not what you're moving into. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if the Word of God says, I can do all things, that would include homeschooling. That would include, you know, having a strategy. And I love that you actually have given people permission to customize it to who they are and who their children are and what their life season looks like. So heroic homeschooling, we're going to also have that. It's going to be in the notes. So what we want to do with the Godmother Podcast is we want to equip mamas. We want to say, wherever you're at, we want to come alongside of you. And, you know, in this factor, Erin, you're a godmother, because a godmother will grow people into places that nobody grew them. They want more for the next generation that they ever experience themselves. So I love that there are tools out there. I know in our own family, my daughter-in-law said that she just got word that my four grandkids are not going back to school for quite a long time. And, you know, it was just kind of like, hey, guess what? And, you know, Sophia was just telling me, I'm home for this many weeks. And I know that Julie would love this kind of resource, because everything just shifted and shaped in a different way. And so if you actually are empowered to do something different, and how beautiful that some of us have had a reset with COVID, where we could be home with our kids more, where we spend less money and less time on things that are not valuable, and have the opportunity to spend and invest time with what we really truly value. Okay, so I want to ask you two things. First of all, I want to ask you, is there a, now you're a breastfeeding mother of a young child, so this may be a joke, but is there a book or a show that you are really enjoying right now?
Gosh, okay. So, man, that's so good. So John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, is a book that I probably read it once a quarter, or at least skim it again, and just to make sure that the ideas in that book have taken root. Just letting go of the things that move you quickly through life was so life-giving for me, as somebody who's like very efficient, very conscientious, super passionate. You can get moving really quickly. And if the faster you go, the less you are receiving. So I don't have a particular show right now, because I haven't spent a lot of time watching TV, but man, crime dramas are where it's at for me.
John and I watched every single season of Monk last year. We feel like we are now brilliant detectives. We never solved any of them, but we enjoyed watching him solve that. And I feel like it actually cured John of some of his OCD. So I was super happy about that. Okay, Erin, what is something that you're excited about? I mean, you're brand new Montana woman in the freezing cold. I'm in Colorado. I'm with you, girlfriend. It's freezing outside. There's so much snow. It's crazy in my front yard. But what is something you're excited about, or that you're believing God for in this season?
So something I'm excited about and believing God for in this season. So a few months ago, I mean, last January, I can remember I was speaking at an event in Maryland. 3,000 youth and their youth pastors. And this baby that I just gave birth to was not a glint in my eye. I had no idea that I was about to have a baby. And my husband and I and Rooney have been on an adoption journey for the last 18 months. We had an approved home study in California before we upped everything and moved to Montana. So we're now in the process of doing all the paperwork again, the background checks, the clearances, all the things you have to do to be approved to invite a new son or daughter into our home. And so we're just believing God for that. We don't know when we were entering back into the process after, you know, many question marks were raised and uprooting everything that we had in California and now having to do it all over. It's just, it's a lot of work. So we're putting in the work. I'm doing it a little bit at a time and just believing that God's going to show up with that right situation, that he knows our hearts and our home is open for a brand new baby or young person. We don't know. So we're just leaving it all to him and have our hands very open, holding out to receive whatever he's going to give us.
I love that. That's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I've met you. I am so looking forward to meeting Brent. You know, Aaron, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know that as a busy young mom, entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneurial man, I know that you have a very, very full day. And so I want to thank you for making time for us. And I wanted people to know, where can they connect with you, Aaron? Can you give them the different ways?
So the best way is BibleBells.com. All of the Bible Bells books are there. Our e-courses are there through Truth Becomes Her. That's the best way to get plugged in. Our podcast you can listen to there. It's called Heroes for Her. And just me online, whether it's on social, it's Aaron.Weideman on Facebook and Instagram. That's where I hang out the most.
All right. That is so exciting. And we're going to put all of this in the show notes. So if you're driving your car and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't get any of that, it will be in the show notes. Aaron, thank you so much. I love you and my grandkids love you. And thank you for everything that you pressed through and persevered. And the thing I'm taking away is that all of our lives should be punctuated and steeped in gratitude and strategy. So I think there's a lot of people that do the gratitude part, but they don't move into the urgency of strategy. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. I love you so much. Can't wait to see you soon.
Well, I hope you love Erin as much as I do. I bet you felt challenged, encouraged, and empowered by her story. I want to thank you. Okay, now this is exciting. You have joined us for a season on motherhood in the Godmother podcast. I know that I've just loved this topic, and we are so excited that we're going to be starting a brand new topic. And so I'm going to ask you something. If you want to have input on what we tackle next, we need to hear from you. So go ahead, give us your input, subscribe to the show, leave a review. And also, this is a celebratory moment. We have crossed 150,000 downloads because of you sharing with your friends, because you have been part of this Godmother podcast family. It never would have happened without you being a faithful part and just leaning into all of it. So I'm so excited that you've been on this journey with me, and I can't even wait for it to continue. So until next season, this is your podcast Godmother, Lisa Bevere.
Thanks for listening to the Godmother Podcast. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows in the Messenger Podcast Network, including Conversations with John and Lisa, The Messenger Podcast, and Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. You can connect with Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and through her website at lisabevere.com. Until next time.